Good morning. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. It's great to see everybody this morning. I hope you're having a great summer. We have several people visiting us this morning. They have been brought to my attention, so I'd like to introduce them to us. We have two sisters visiting from the church in Toronto, Canada. Kathy Malapit and Christine Lumobo. Can I have you guys stand up? Okay. And we have a brother and sister visiting from the church in Barbados. And he was actually converted by our late brother, Damien Jean-Baptiste, 22 years ago. So I'd like for Trevor and Marilyn from the church in Barbados to go ahead and stand on up. Welcome. I see a couple of brother and sister visitors from the church in Savannah. It's good to see you guys. I'd also like to welcome all the brothers and sisters that went to Haiti. And Scott Deng was in Vietnam. Welcome back home. Yeah. Scott, did you hear, "Good morning, Vietnam"? Did you hear that when you were there? No, I don't think so. All the kids are like, "What?" All the other people know exactly what I'm talking about. Robin Williams. My phone started ringing on Friday afternoon. My wife and I were actually visiting a lady who's sick, and the phone just started ringing. And so I looked down, and I find out that LeBron James is going back to Cleveland. And people have been calling me and consoling me. I am doing better. I was a LeBron fan before he went to Miami. I was very excited when he went to my team. But I think what he's done is a class act, you know, going back home and helping that city get their own championship. They haven't had one in over 50 years. And so I'm going to be rooting for them, you know, except when he's playing against my Heat. But and I know a lot of us are going to be watching the World Cup finals today. Okay. You say, who's going to win? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be Germany. Okay. I picked them right from the start. They're playing the best football. So you're going to see, we're going to bring it home today. I got their jersey, and I forgot to pull it up. I took a selfie of myself. You know, it's got three stars on the jersey. We're going to add a fourth one today. I can promise you that. Okay, so it was Lionel Messi. He hasn't done anything, and it's not going to happen today. I'm sorry. Okay? But you know, our theme this year, in case you've forgotten, is because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells us a lot of things. There are a lot of incredible promises God has made to us in His Word. There are a lot of incredible commands that God expects us to obey and to follow every single day. And we got to remember that. And I also want to mention to us that next Sunday is going to be the last Sunday of Simon and Kat Agolori. Simon works for the CDC. He's going to be going over to Namibia as a family for the next 2 years. And so make sure you tell him in the next several days how much you love him. Guys, can I have you stand up? We're going to miss you. You know, you may be wondering, where's Namibia? It's in Southern Africa. Okay? The capital of the country is Windhoek. But that's where they're going to be for the next couple of years. Be praying for them and as they continue to pray for us. And time goes by very quickly, like I told you yesterday. So we'll see you back here very quickly. Genesis 22. I've titled the message this morning, "When Has God Ever Let You Down?" As we read this passage. When has God ever let you down? Genesis 22, beginning verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." As we read this story, we need to remember that in Genesis 21, Abraham had sent his other son, Ishmael, away with his mother Hagar. So they were gone. And then God shows up and says, "You know what? I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. Ishmael is no longer around. And I want you to go sacrifice him as a burnt offering on a mountain in which I will show you." The first thing we notice, brothers and sisters, is how prompt Abraham's obedience was. It tells us here in verse 3 that early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Early the next morning, the night before, God had told him, "I want you to take your son, your only son, and go offer him as a burnt offering." In other words, Abraham was going to kill him, and he was going to burn him up. That's what a burnt offering is. Okay? Are you with me? And the Bible tells us that early the next morning, he went promptly obeying God. Notice, he didn't tell Sarah. Can you imagine what that conversation would have been like? "Hey, Abraham, where are you going?" "Well, God told me last night that I need to take our son and we need to go to this area and go to this mountain and I need to go offer him up there as a burnt offering." She's going to say, "You're not taking my son. I waited too many years to get this son. As a matter of fact, go, maybe you can find Ishmael. Go after him. Go offer him." But he didn't tell Sarah. We don't read about that. He probably snuck out of the house. She was probably still sleeping when he took off. Okay? That's just the way my imagination works. Again, notice, Abraham didn't know exactly which mountain he was going. But God knew the mountain. Sounds familiar? Remember Genesis 12, when God told him to leave his family and his familiar surroundings and to go to a land he was going to show him? So he's figured out by now that this is how God operates. That God will never tell you everything. God will never show you everything. And brothers and sisters, that is what faith is. Are you with me? Because you can't see faith. If you can't see it, it's no longer faith. And God will expect you and I to obey his word, even when it doesn't make sense. Abraham obeyed very quickly. The question we got to ask ourselves this morning as we continue to look at this passage is, do we obey God quickly? What's our response when God tells us the kind of fathers and mothers we need to be as parents? What is your response when God challenges you about the kind of husband or the kind of wife that you are? When you read verses where God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How does that strike you? How does that strike me? Sisters, when the Bible commands you to submit to your husbands, how does that strike you? It doesn't say submit to him because he's perfect. We need to submit because our submission shows that we are submitting to God. When the Bible commands, again, those of us that are married, to submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ, what's our response? Do we quickly obey those verses? I got to be honest with you. Friday afternoon, when I read that LeBron went back to Cleveland, I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I can't believe he would forgive the way he was treated back in Cleveland 4 years ago when his jersey was being burnt and the owner actually wrote a very horrible letter that was published. And I thought, how could he go back there? I had to go back and get on my knees and beg God for forgiveness. I was like, you know what? I'm the one who's got the problem. Because I couldn't believe that he would forgive those guys. And apparently they got together last week and they forgave each other. And that's why he was able to go back. I had to realize that I had grudges against that owner. Are you with me? But you see, the question is, when the Bible tells us stuff and God tells us different things in his word, are we quick to respond? Like Abraham did. Again, we announced on Thursday that so far in our special contribution, we've given over 104,000. That's phenomenal. We've never done anything like that in this church. You know, some of you may be feeling, well, we met our goal, so I don't have to give anymore. No, you still have to give yours. People have made their pledges. You need to meet your pledge. So what are we going to do with the extra money? Well, it's really not extra because, first of all, it's all God's money. All that portion is going to go into our building fund. Because half of what we collect is going into our building fund anyhow. So the more money that comes in, it all goes into that building fund. It doesn't go into my pocket, I can assure you. Okay? But, you know, God asks us to be generous in our giving, and we've excelled in that. And that's fantastic. And we need to continue. God expects us to excel in our outreach. The fields are ripe for harvest. When you read those evangelism scriptures, when you read those outreach verses in the scriptures, how do you react? Oh, well, such and so will do it. Well, such and so will do it. It's talking to you. It's talking to me. We need to obey these verses. God gave Abraham a very specific order. And guess what? He obeyed. What happens when you make an order on Amazon or you buy something online? What happens when they ship you the wrong thing? What do you do? Do you say, oh, this is wonderful? Well, this is close enough. You get on the telephone. You're upset. You're like, hey, wait a second. This is not what I ordered. What do? You send it back. And usually these days, I mean, you can actually send it back and, you know, they'll pay for the shipping and everything, and they'll apologize, and they'll give you a discount usually, and send you the right stuff. Are you with me? That's the way it works. How do you think God feels when he gives us direct orders and we don't obey? You wouldn't even accept that from Amazon. And if you order things online, I promise you, one of these days they're going to send you something, they're going to send you the wrong stuff. It happens. That's just life. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it's going to happen. Mark it down. Are you with me? I remember several years ago, I ordered two shock absorbers for my car. And they sent me two left ones. And I called the guys and I said, yeah, send me two left shock absorbers. I need one for the right and one for the left. Here's the order. Oh, well, okay. Mail that one back to us and then we'll send it the other. I said, oh. I said, this was your error. You need to put my correct shock absorber in the mail today. Then I will send you the wrong stuff you sent to me. And that's exactly what I did. Now, they didn't apologize or anything. And so, because of that, I've never gone back and bought anything from them. It's like, one and done. Okay, bye. But they sent me my right stuff. And I sent them the wrong stuff they shipped to me. But you see, how is it that when God gives us direct orders and we don't obey, how do we expect him to feel? He's not going to accept it either. You return the order when it's not exact. Amen? Again, his obedience was persistent. They got up, they took off. He told his servants, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Shortly after that, his son Isaac asked, hey, father, you know, I see the wood, the knife, and the fire. Where's the lamb? Notice what he says. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Two very faithful statements. One to the servants, one to his son. Notice what he said to the servants. He says, we will worship and then we will come back. He didn't say, we're going to go worship and then I'm going to come back. Remember, he had to go sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. And obviously the servants went back. His son says, hey, dad, hey, wait a second. You need four items for a burnt offering. We got the wood, we got the knife, we got the fire. The most important element was the lamb. Notice, that's the only living ingredient in the sacrifice. The wood, knife, and fire have no life. Only the lamb has the life. The living ingredient of the sacrifice was missing. Notice again, God knew which item was missing. You see, when you see verses like this, and then you read like Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it talks about in view of God's mercy, that you and I should offer our bodies as what? Living sacrifices. Why? Because God doesn't accept dead sacrifices. It has to be living. You can't offer a dead bull to God, or a dead lamb. It has to be living. God will only accept living sacrifices from his children. And the Bible commands us in Romans 12:1 to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Amen. But God knew which item was missing. God will not accept dead sacrifices from us. And then, again, look at Abraham's response. It says, God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering. It says, God will provide. That's one of God's names, by the way, in case you didn't know. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. It means God will provide. It's not that God might provide. He will. It's a certainty. It's a promise. Like I like to say, you can take that one to the bank. Are you with me? Because that's one of his names. God will provide. And I bring this up because, you know what? A lot of times we go through stuff in life and things happen and things don't happen. And we're like, how in the world is this going to get fixed? And God says, you know what? I know what's missing. I'm going to take care of it. In my own time. That ram wasn't caught in the thicket by accident. It wasn't that God was interested in killing, having Abraham kill his one and only son. God was testing his obedience. When God gives you and I commands to follow, he's just testing our obedience. That's all it is. He already knows what he's going to do. He will provide the answers. He will provide. Amen? God will provide. That word provide comes from two Latin words. Pro, which has the root word is like before, pro. And then video, which means to see. It simply means to see in advance before the need is known. God sees your needs. And God is going to meet those needs. Even before you start to experience those things. It's all about my obedience. It's all about my faith in this God that we call on every single day. That we call on several times a day. That's what it's about. And now you can try and sit there and figure it out, but you are not going to. Because you and I, first of all, we don't have the resources. But God does. Are you with me? And so again, I don't know what's going on in your life this morning. I know by the next several weeks, this is what I'm going to be talking about. About our faith in our God. Because I think God needs to increase our faith. We need to take it to another level. I mean, look at what God has just done with this special contribution. And again, I mentioned that to show you that God is faithful. He has all the resources. Whatever need you have, whatever problem you're going through, he can take care of it. But like I started talking about on Thursday night, you got to take your problem to him. The limited resources you have that you think, well, how's this going to work out? You got to take it to the Lord. And then God will multiply it. Are you with me? But you see, it is God who's the provider. And he expects us as his children to obey his commands. I remember when I was a little kid and, you know, people would be giving you a bath at night. And like most boys, I didn't like it. Yeah, I don't know what it is about, you know, little boys don't like him to take baths or showers or whatever. But I remember that, you know, they start scrubbing you up from top to bottom. And they'll tell me to close my eyes. Close your eyes. And I recall one time asking, why? And my grandma didn't say nothing. She didn't say anything. And so she's scrubbing me, put soap on my face, and man, that soap got into my eyes. And I started screaming for water. And she's pouring water over my face, you know. And trying to get whatever it is. I don't know whatever ingredient they put in that thing. I am convinced that it was parents that told the soap companies to put that thing in there. She washes it off, and obviously now you can see. She didn't have to tell me a second time to close my eyes from that day onward. Why? I learned the hard way. And so the same thing is true with God. If you obey his commands, God is going to say, fine, I'm going to show you. You will see why I'm telling you to close your eyes. You will see why I'm telling you this is not the way to go. Are you with me? Like Bishop said this morning, you can decide to learn from other people's mistakes or you can make the mistake yourself. The choice is yours. To me, it's a lot wiser when somebody else has made the same mistake. Say, you know what? They made that mistake. I'm not doing that. That's not smart. Are you with me? Very, very important. But it's about simply obeying God. You have a need that only God can meet. And here's the cool thing about this story. God has already provided an answer way before the need even came about. I'm going to say that again. God has already provided an answer to your need way before the need existed. And that should give us a lot of comfort. It should give us a lot of confidence. that God will take care of you. He's a father who cares about us. Are you with me? Now, whatever it is we're going through, there's a reason for it. And once that reason is taken place, believe me, God will meet that need. And then use something else to get your attention. That's just the way he works. Are you with me? I remember last year when my wife and I were looking for a used car to get for our daughters. And we didn't have a lot of money. And we wanted to get a Toyota, a certain year, a certain model. And all we had was $4,000. And so, like I always do, I started shopping. You know, I went to Auto Trader, I went to Craigslist, I called up Todd. I mean, I did all kinds of stuff over weeks. And the cheapest car I could find, believe it or not, was about $5,500. And all I had was $4,000. But we just continued praying. We continued looking. Every day I would search to see if I could find something cheaper. And then I found this car, and it had a lot of miles on it. And the owners, you know, I believe they were Georgia Bulldogs because they had a huge Georgia sign in front of it. But I remember looking at it, but I ignored it. And I went looking for weeks, found nothing. And so I decided, okay, let me call back this number. So I called and left a message. And about 10 minutes later, the guy calls. The guy goes, I just heard your message. As a matter of fact, the message you left was via some machine. And all of a sudden, he played it out loud and whatever. And he goes, yeah, the car is still available. And I said, yeah, but you were asking like $5,500 for it. I said, I don't have $5,500. I said, I have only $4,000. The guy goes, you can have it. I said, I'll be right there. I kid you not. And that's what we did. We got into the car immediately. We met the guy. He's actually a lawyer. The guy said, I'm a lawyer. I don't need the money. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Took the car for a test drive. I said, hey, I'm right back. Went to the bank, withdrew the money, gave him the whatever. He signed the papers to us, and that's how we got the car. Again, I use that as an example to say God had already met the need way before the thing came up. Now, we have to be faithful to wait for it to happen. Are you with me? And so again, I don't know what the needs are. It may be financial, it may be health-wise, I don't know. But God will provide. Because that's one of his names. Are you with me? That's why it's in the scriptures. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. How could God command Abraham to sacrifice his son? We reply, God never intended the death of Isaac. He saw the end from the beginning. And knew that the life of Isaac would not be taken. The command was only a severe test of absolute faith and unwavering obedience of his servant Abraham. A story might illustrate this. In the Napoleon Wars, it was said that once the emperors of Austria and Russia and the king of Prussia were discussing the relative, absolute, unquestioning obedience of their soldiers. Each claimed the preeminence in this regard for his own soldiers. They were sitting in a room in the second story. To test the matter, they agreed that each in turn would call up the sentinel at the door and command him to leap out of the window. First, the Prussian monarch called his man. "Leap out of the window," was the order. "Your Majesty," said the soldier, "it would kill me." He was then dismissed. And the Austrian soldier was called. "Leap out of the window," commanded the emperor. "I will," said the man, "if you really mean what you say." He was in turn dismissed. And the Tsar called his man. "Leap out that window," cried the Tsar. Without a word in reply, the man crossed himself and started to obey, but of course was stopped before he had reached the window. Were the sovereigns guilty of murder? Surely not. Because their purpose was not to sacrifice their soldiers, but only to test their obedience. This anecdote may throw more light on the first difficulty that perhaps many a logical argument could do. God's purpose must be judged, not by his command alone, but by the story in its completeness. Then and only then will our judgment be a correct one. Brothers and sisters, no matter what we're going through, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. God will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God bless you all.
All right, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you just for the chance and opportunity to come to church and hear your word preach, Lord God. I'm thankful and grateful just for the message of faith and obedience, Lord God, to your word that we have heard. I really pray that we will be quick to put your word into practice, Lord God, whenever you show us something every morning when we get up to have our time with you. Father, I pray that we would not ignore everything that you are telling us, Lord God, but that we will really pay very, very close attention, knowing that you are doing it for our good as our Father and as somebody that loves us more than anybody else on this earth could ever love us. Please just come and be here with us throughout the rest of this week and throughout the rest of this day. Lord God, bless us to glorify you. I pray that we would enjoy fellowship time with one another, Lord God, and continue to reach out to people, knowing that the harvest is plentiful. Thank you for all that you have done. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. You are now dismissed.